In preparation for the word of exhortation this morning on the subject prayer, supplication, and praise, we have been asked to read Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, and then Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. So Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And now Matthew 6, verses 5 and 6. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Now let us give our attention to our brother Bill Rott on the subject prayer, supplication, and praise.
Good morning, brothers, sisters, and friends. Thanks to our sister who picked out our hymns today. They really go along very well. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. If ever there were a better example of a man of prayer in the Bible records other than our Lord Jesus himself, it would be the man David. We just have to read his stirring words in the Psalms to understand how much and how many times this man communed with Yahweh. I started thinking about this in our readings in Leviticus regarding the furnishings of the tabernacle. And last week, I think it was last week, We spoke of the burnt offering and its relationship to Christ in our memorial remarks. But as prayer is such an exhaustive subject, we will look at it in very brief today. When we mention the word prayer or praying, what do you think of? Petition? Help? Forgiveness? Praise? Thanksgiving? Seeking peace? Confession? Prayer is all these things and more. It lightens the darkness and lifts the burdens that we all share. It is the lifting of heart and mind and our will to our God. It is worship. It is adoration, confession, communion, finding peace and joy in our hearts, and renewing our faith. Quote from Abraham Lincoln says, "I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for that day." And a lot of times, brethren, that's where we wind up in prayer, is when we are downtrodden, when we are problematic, when we are in spiritual turmoil. That is not the only time we should be praying. The word pray, defined by Strong's in the Old Testament, is palal. Means to judge, to intercede, to entreat, to make supplication. In the New Testament, hard word, prosko ko hemehi. Somebody may be able to pronounce that better than me. Means to supplicate, to worship, and to pray. Although the idea of prayer is obviously a major theme in the Bible, and we see very much usage of it, the actual first usage of the word pray, other than in the phrase, "I pray thee," does not occur until Numbers. In Numbers 21:7 we read, "Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people." But the word prayer is used quite a bit earlier, in Genesis actually, in Genesis 20, 17 and 18. And this has to deal with the incident with Abimelech and Abraham's deception about Sarah. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. During the various ages in the Bible, communication with deity has sometimes been direct, through a priest or prophet, through angelic representation, and finally, through Christ. But they all required the same thing, being a covenanted individual. Only those who have been chosen by deity or have chosen to follow deity in the proper way are allowed to approach him in prayer. In Proverbs, we have two, many sayings, but we have two. 15 and 29 says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous." Proverbs 28:9, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination." Under the law of Moses, the way to deity was to be through the priests only. Sacrifices and offerings were to be brought to the tabernacle to be offered by the priest. An Israelite was not to offer his own sacrifice. One of the specific instructions to Moses was regarding the preparation of the oils and incense for the anointing of the priest and the altar of incense, which we will speak a little bit out about today. In Exodus 30, starting at verse 23, we're going to be skipping around here a little bit. It says, "Take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and an olive, oil olive of hin and hin. And thou shalt make it an whole oil of holy anointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil." And skipping down to 34. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Take unto thee sweet spices, stacte, and oinka, and galbanum. These sweet spices with pure frankincense of each shall there be a like weight. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy." And if you remember, the ark, the altar of incense, was just before the veil, and would fill the room, or both rooms actually, with that sweet smelling savor. "And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make it, make like unto that, to smell thereto, shall even be cut off from his people." And we all know what happened to the sons, Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, when they presumed to offer strange fire. They were in turn consumed by fire itself, showing that Yahweh can only be approached in the manner he deems acceptable. In Brother Robert's Law of Moses, he writes this: "The altar of incense, though holy a symbol of prayer, was associated with atonement, and being touched once a year with the blood of the sin offering, slain and offered outside, which is an intimation that prayer is not acceptable except at the hands of those who have come into contact with the sacrifice of Christ in the way appointed, the understanding, belief, and obedience of the gospel in being baptized unto his death. Men who worship apart from this are worshipers on the outside of the tabernacle, and invoke death in presuming to come near without the blood of the sacrifice required. The altar of incense had no relation to the stranger in any sense or way. It was in the holy, which no stranger dare enter, and it was both anointed with the holy oil and sanctified with the atoning blood, with which the stranger has not come in contact. Also, it was to be served only by the priest, with whom the stranger has no connection. It is only those who have submitted to the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ that are a royal priesthood, qualified to acceptably show forth the praises of him who hath called them out of darkness into his marvelous light, which were in time past not a people, but are now a people." Incense, we see, represents acceptable prayer. The altar of incense represents the sacrifice of prayer offered with Christ fire on the gold plate foundation of faith, without which is it impossible to please God, as we read in Hebrews 11:6. Men are not acceptable to deity who do not pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, offering the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Hebrews 13:15 tells us this: by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Once again, these two things, praise and thanksgiving, are a integral part of prayer. Yahweh constantly invites man to come to him, to separate themselves from the world around them and join themselves to him in the manner he dictates, that he may be a refuge and a fortress under whose shadow they could come to trust. James tells us that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Isaiah 57:15, we read this: for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him that also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones. And I think in our hymn that we just sang, let me read it again. Lord, teach us how to pray aright, with reverence and with fear. Though dust and ashes in thy sight we must draw near. We perish if we cease from prayer. O grant us power to pray. And when to meet thee we prepare, Lord, meet us by the way. God of all grace, we come to thee with broken, contrite hearts. Gift that thine eye delights to see, faith in the inward parts. Faith is an integral part of our prayer. On the other hand, false worship is not acceptable to Yahweh, a lesson that Israel did not learn. Isaiah 65, starting in verse 1. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I have found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts. A people that provoked me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificed in gardens and burned incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth, the abominable things is in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. On the other hand, we have the man David. Psalm 141, starting at verse 1. Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me. Give ear to my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. When their judges are overthrown in stony places, they shall hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered in the grave's mouth, as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood unto the earth. But mine eyes are unto thee, O God, the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. In Psalm 19:14, he says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The man, after God's own heart, displayed the close relationship between faith and prayer, which must exist before praying can be prayer at all. His conviction that God was his refuge and his strength showed that he knew his life was in the hands of a Creator who would guide him day by day in wisdom and love. David teaches us the practice of prayer in his Psalms. In them, he puts into words the longings, the frustrations, the joy, the peace, and the thanksgiving of our own experiences. No eloquence can define the true meaning of prayer. No human wisdom plumb its depths, or academic study scale its lofty heights. For this is a study of the heart. In its fulfillment, prayer is the sum total of faith and fellowship with God. Even in the time to come, we see incense and prayer being a continuing theme. In Malachi 1:11, for from the rising of the sun and the evening to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. In Revelation 8:3-4. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up to God, before God, out of the angel's hand. We often talk of prayers ascending unto deity as a sweet smelling savor. Before prayer can begin to have any real meaning in our lives, it must have its source in an unqualified acceptance of God's revelation of himself in his word and his son. We must diligently seek to know as much as he has revealed of his purpose with men, and we must be prepared to submit to any demands he makes upon us. If we do so, we shall find our prayers following the pattern of the prayers of all God's servants, and we shall experience with them the sanctifying and hallowing power which accompanies communion with God. Aside from David and others in the Scriptures whose prayers are laid out before us for our learning, Jesus himself is a wonderful example of a prayerful man. He did not give his disciples long dissertations on prayer, but taught them to share his experience of God and find strength and comforts in the waters of communion. Prayer before Jesus had come became a cold legal formality, but he was to show them that it could be simple and lovely. In Luke 11:1, we read, and it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And what would follow would be what we term the Lord's Prayer. Both simple and profound, a child can repeat it. A scholar can write numerous pages about its message. The pattern in the prayer is simple. Invocation and doxology are separated by three petitions concerning God's glory and purpose, and three confessing our need. In Matthew, before he introduces the prayer, he instructs his apostles how and how not to pray. Be not as the hypocrites, he says. Enter into thy closet. Pray to the Father in secret, and use not vain repetitions. And he ends with praise. Let us turn to Matthew 6, starting at verse 9. He tells them, after this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Simplicity itself, but depths unfathomable. We would do good to pattern our prayers after this. Our prayers after the man David. And in closing, we're going to read Psalm 72. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish in abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the rivers unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Bill. Let us now enter into our memorial service by collectively raising our voices in the singing of hymn number 100. Beyond where Kedron's waters flow, behold the suffering Savior go to sad Gethsemane. Hymn 100. The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. As we gather here this morning, we are coming before our Father. We pray, Abba, Father. We recognize we have been adopted into the heavenly calling. Understanding the only thing that is unconditional is the eternal I Am, Yahweh. The throne of David will be reestablished on this earth one day. Perfect righteousness. The purpose of the Elohim in creating this rock and setting it to hurtling through the nothingness of space will finally be accomplished, that all the earth will be filled with the glory of Yahweh. We know they do in perfection, gathered around His throne. Till then, we are sustained by His provision, through bread from heaven. We all need forgiveness. We all fall short. We are all unworthy. We should practice that same spirit of grace to others. We struggle enough with temptation. We certainly don't need any extra. What we do need is deliverance from the evil. Not for ourselves, for God's glory. That is the purpose of the kingdom. That is the power of it, because there is no power in man. Man ruined God's creation. By one man comes the forgiveness of sin. An understanding of His name and His purpose, we can draw nigh unto God. But it is on the conditions that the Elohim set in the beginning through the blood of the covenant, which blood we see represented here in the cup, the blood that was drained from his body, broken, and the final act of total submission, the example for us that none of us can come anywhere near living up to, but we must look to, as we see represented in the bread. So as we come here, we can see a manifestation and the purpose of Christ, so taught in what we term the Lord's Prayer, as consistently throughout the Scripture. So, now to follow another example of practice that Christ gave us, let us look to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Would now like to call on our brother Lucas Stanton to please offer a prayer for the bread.
Great and merciful Father in heaven, we come to thy throne of grace in remembrance of thy Son and in of his sacrifice. And as we look at the bread, we see his perfect life lived without transgression to thee, save only in his nature. We pray that we would look to him as our example and attempt to pattern our life after his. Please help us to understand the magnitude and appreciate the condescension to come down and provide this hope to us. And may it strengthen us to be servants meet to thine employ. We pray that thy Son's return from thy right hand to establish thy kingdom again would be this very day, and mercy and grace would be extended to each and every one of us, and we might all be found acceptable to serve in that kingdom age. We offer and pray for these things through the name of thy Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Now let us rise, if we can call on our brother Aaron Strickland, a prayer for the wine.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, at this time we approach before thee to offer up our praise and thanksgiving to thy holy name, for we recognize that indeed it is only through the provision of an opportunity for reconciliation that we are able to appear together today, stand before thee, and partake of these emblems in remembrance of that which was accomplished on our behalf. We appreciate now in the symbol of this wine the blood poured out in reconciliatory sacrifice, and we see the atoning work of thy Son in completing the mission for which he was ordained and following thee in all things. We pray that you will help us at all times to consider and remember that which has been done, that we might be reminded of our commitment and our faith to thee. And as we partake of these emblems, we pray you will at all times help us be reminded of what is to come in this earth, and that if it is thy will, each of us may be found acceptable to participate in those things. All of this we pray and ask in and through thy Son's name, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Now, let us close our formal service with the singing of hymn number 247. Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, after which I would like to ask Brother Sid if he could close with a word of prayer. Hymn number 247.
Merciful and loving Heavenly Father, once again we have this blessing of prayer at which we are at liberty to call upon Thee, to entreat Thee, to seek Thy encouragement, as well as Thy direction. We thank Thee for our brother's words this morning, and we pray that they will motivate each of us to more readily access this privilege and blessing of prayer. For we know that we need Thy strengthening influence. We know we need Thy help. And we have the opportunity to approach Thee through Thy Son and our Savior, even our Lord Jesus Christ. We are appreciative to Thee for His provision, for He offers that medium by which we may attain unto salvation. And indeed, we all here desire to be participative in that glorious era, if it be according to Thy will. We thank Thee for all such opportunities as this to gather in Thy name, to worship Thee in a manner which we pray has indeed been in spirit and in truth. We long for that time when Thy kingdom shall be set up upon this earth, and we pray once again that we may all take part therein, if it be according to Thy will. Please be with all of Thy servants around this world and help each one as Thou alone knowest best. Please forgive us of the many things that we do that are disappointing to Thee. Strengthen us, and in times of trial, help us to remember the avenue of prayer. And we pray that You would dismiss us now with Thy blessing, that You would guide, guard, and direct each one that Thy will might be accomplished. For this is our prayer as we offer to Thee through Thy beloved Son, even our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Okay, remember, there's a group coming in right after us today, so we'll need to...